This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. This is The Morning Run. It's 7:18, Wednesday, the 16th of March. In the meantime, in conjunction with the launching of the GLC Open Day 2022 last weekend, which was clearly overshadowed by the Johor state elections, let's talk about the GLC role in developing the Malaysian economy. So, like I said, much glitz and fanfare, the Prime Minister did launch this GLC Open Day at the KL Convention Centre, asserting that GLICs and GLCs will play a role, an even more significant role, towards the country's march towards developed nation status. But beyond the pronouncements and promises to help transform the economy, many are questioning whether GLCs and GLICs continue to be inefficient and instead of nurturing a competitive market environment, actually crowd out private investment.
And there is no denying that Malaysia's government-linked companies, or GLCs, and government-linked investment companies, GLICs, participation in the local economy is significant, with GLC and GLICs accounting for 42% and 26% respectively of the total market capitalization of Bursa Malaysia, as well as providing employment for about around 500,000 local workers. So with an economy that is trying to recover from the pandemic, allegations of misuse of sovereign funds such as 1MDB and the government experiencing tighter public finances, what is the role of GLCs and GLICs in shaping our economy?
A very important question that we're going to pose to Dr. Nong Sari A. Radi, economist, for some perspective. Good morning, Doc. Now, did the Prime Minister's speech provide any signal in his expectations on GLC and GLICs moving forward during the GLC Open Day 2022?
I think the one that caught the attention of the press was more about his statement on minimum wages, I think, that needs to be paid. But the broader thrust of what he said is actually this desire of by the government, or the intention of the government, to use GLCs and GLICs as somewhat of a policy instrument. And that's the one that sort of worries me a bit. Not in terms of the desired effect, but in a manner that perhaps the government wants them to go about doing it. I think value creation by companies and proper investment in the right sort of things by GLICs are fine. Mm. But how do they go about doing those things? Those are the ones that worry me a bit, I think.
So it was the unsaid that worried you. Is this because you're thinking, what is the role of the GLCs and the GLICs at the end of the day? Has it become more undefined?
Because I think I'm beginning to sound like a broken record. I think GLCs, that are GLCs by virtue of having some of the statutory funds as investors. I think, and they are public listed companies. I think they should just be governed as public listed companies. There's Bursa, there's Securities Commission, and so on. But GLICs, the funds themselves, you know, whether they are EPF, PNB, LTAT, Co-op, and so on, they have their own mandate and they have their own representatives on the board. They should then manifest those strategic and financial objectives on the board because they are public listed companies. I think Khazana is perhaps the only one that is actually government-owned, and they can perhaps play the more strategic role. I think the worrying thing that the people has not been talking about, I think if you look at it from outside of the country, why would you want to put money in Malaysia? It used to be that we say, oh, you want to have a taste of ASEAN, of Indonesia, or Vietnam, or Thailand, you come to Malaysia because Malaysian companies have a regional footprint. So you want to, you know, like, apa? Malaysia truly Asia thing, Malaysia truly ASEAN. If you want to invest in Malaysia, companies that have footprint in Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand, you come to Malaysia. So I think what's missing in this conversation is actually, what's the investment thesis? What are we promoting between us and not Singapore, but, you know, Jakarta, Bangkok, or Ho Chi Minh, or you know, I mean, that's missing. I think we're too much driven by sort of domestic considerations or maybe current domestic considerations.
So we've talked a lot about GLCs crowding out the market, but what is the relevance and roles of GLC and GLICs these days? Do you think they're still relevant?
Yeah, they are relevant by virtue of what you even said earlier in terms of their presence in the market. I think what's needed not so much by GLCs because they are PLCs, right? The public listed companies, their job is to make money. But the funds, the GLI, the so-called GLICs, they are the ones that should be investing in a manner that deepens the market, right? That creates new companies, new firms. People talk about this, sustainable energy, new technology, new energy. So the funds are the ones that should be investing in new companies. Deepen the market, broaden the base of the type of companies, not just, property, palm oil, keep
old
on
economy.
Adding the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to the old economy all the time, right?
We should be, the GLICs, the so-called funds, are the ones that should be doing that. The GLCs, so-called the public listed companies, their job is to make money, return shareholders' funds and all those things. So you can't really force them to do things that's beyond their short-term or even long-term interests.
So, Doc, I'm going to take a little bit of a step back and rewind history. So I'll sound like a broken record now because there have been many initiatives and transformation roadmaps and plans to create, more market-efficient GLCs, GLICs, even from Tun M's time, Pak La's time, and every prime minister wants to remake the GLCs, GLICs. Do you think this adds to the whole confusion in terms of what is the role of GLCs? Because when you look at it, it's supposed to be more medium to long term. And every time there's also a change in government, there tends to be a change in management and leadership.
I think that makes that's bad for talent attraction, right? Who wants to be part of senior management of any company when you know that there's no security of tenure in that sense, right? In terms of and then is it performance based? And then even selection of board members, if it's all politically driven, so then we will become known as a market for which some of the companies are actually governed by political interests. So that's what we should avoid. I think the stuff about good governance, whatever they want to say, but those are quite generic stuff. But what they should do. It should be consistent about is are we performance based? Are we based on the interest of the firm rather than some shareholder interests that are skewed by political interest? So those are the ones that have been changing, and those are the ones that have been deflating people's confidence in our market, and that's the one that should be addressed. I think different government can come and do whatever they want to do, but don't change those central. Principles, right? It should be performance-based. It should be based on the interest of the company, not some political interest. You can steer it towards policy, say you want more sustainable, whatever, like ESG, but you should actually be consistent. And you shouldn't be asking people to invest in things that doesn't make sense, not subject to financial scrutiny and evaluation, things of those nature. And don't go and point silly people on the wall.
Yes, so earlier you were talking about minimum wage. So do you think that this is a sign for things to come for a broader market, or will it be likely a crutch for GLCs?
See, this is where so-called GLCs can be in the handicapped position, right? If the government wants to do a minimum wage, then do the minimum wage as a statutory legislative thing. But if you just twist the arm of certain companies to subscribe to it, to fulfill it, and not to the general market, then basically you're making so-called GLCs a less attractive a destination for investments. So this is where I worry at the beginning when I said, I think I have a sense that actually most government tend to say, oh, I can actually influence these people. I want to use them as instruments of policy. I think they are not instruments of policy. They are commercial entities. The instrument of policies is you use the card, the funds lah. Then they can be strategic at that level, but not at the company level.
Yeah, which then brings to the point whereby do you expect the government to ask GLCs and GLICs to maybe going forward to even shoulder more social responsibilities? And how should markets react? Oh. Investors don't like this, don't they? Do they?
Yeah. I think most investors are responsible investors. They want their companies that they invest do proper CSR, be responsible members of society and so on. But in their own way, in a very transparent manner, not to fulfill somebody else's objectives. So that's the one that worries people, right? I mean, the original GLC transformation thing back in, what, 2004 or whatever. They had covered things like CSR, you know, procurement. Those are the hot buttons, lah, you know, the role of the board. And then measurement of performance. Those are the things that should be clear. If those things are being tempered in a way that doesn't reflect the interests of the companies, and it certainly is going to be not good for overall confidence in Bursa, in Kuala Lumpur as a destination for investments.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for your time. That was Dr. Nung Sari Aradi, economist, giving us his views on GLCs and GLICs and the role that they should play in the Malaysian economy. Now, Philip, I know you're dying to say something.
He said, right, don't hire silly people to the board. I think that was a very clear direction. But, you know, he made a very interesting point, the distinction between GLIC and GLC, and also being clear about the investment thesis for this country. Because if you want to make Malaysia a hub, regional hub, the question is, are you crowding out in the home market? Because I think everyone who wants to invest here says, look, I don't mind expanding regionally, but are you making the home market available and competitive and efficient?
Yeah, important questions that we should have answers for, but we don't at this moment. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.